Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lori Davis, and you're listening to The Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio on this beautiful, gorgeous day here in the Great Northwest. It's spring. I can feel it in the air. It's just there. And it's a nice, balmy, I don't know, 10 or 12 degrees Celsius here in Canada. And the snow is melting, and it's just feeling wonderful. Today, I'm excited to have Diana Lockett join me. Diana is referred to as a love architect. I love that. And a visionary heart leader with a gift for awakening the higher achiever. Well, I've always considered myself to be a high achiever, so I can hardly wait to hear what she has to say about that. And through her coaching systems, she supports others who want to be healthier, wealthier, more productive, and on track with their purpose. So I see she has arrived. Welcome to the show, Diana. Are you there? Well, now, do we have a little glitch? Good morning, everyone. Well, we're back here. A few little technical glitches this morning. I'm Lori Davis. You're listening to The Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm just going to see if our guest is able to say hello to us this morning. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yay. Wonderful.
Yay,
we're on. Happy to be here. Great.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. Sometimes we have to just work around the challenges, right?
Yes, I know. I've worked in technology on and off for like 30 years, and I know that, and sometimes it's as simple as log off and log back on, and sometimes we just have to work through it. So thank you for having me, and I'm excited to share with your audience some of the work that's been going on, not just in my world, but in the world in general.
Well, thank you so much for that. And for anyone who missed our first intro, my guest today, Diana Lockett, known as a love architect, a visionary heart leader with a gift for awakening the high achiever. So I'm really interested in speaking with you because I consider myself a high achiever. And through her coaching systems, she supports others who want to be healthier, wealthier, more productive, and on track with their purpose. Well, that sounds to me like a big assignment, Diana.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. And the way that I go about it is different than the way many other coaches go about it. So I believe that, first of all, this idea of being a love architect, I didn't go into this work with that intention. That is the feedback that my clients give me, that after one session, they fall in love with themselves. And the thing is, when we fall in love with ourselves, when we start to really have deep appreciation and respect for who we are, we start to become more intuitive and sensitive to what we need to be successful and how we define success. So the way that I help people fall in love with themselves is to be able to move into a state of deeper nervous system relaxation. And it's only from that place that they can start to awaken, to open up, to recognize what they need to be able to move into their health journey, their wealth journey, their success journey. But it's not from having to push through or to be able to move through a mental construct that's been designed for them by others about how it should be.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really great.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what led you to this work?
Thank you. Yes, I have been working as a communication expert for 30 years. And what I didn't realize, I'm a published author in the Ignite Female Changemakers book. And when I wrote that chapter, which truly I say was written for me, like I literally just let my fingers move and something wrote the chapter for me, I connected the dots to see how the work that I've been doing for 30 years has been really work that's been serving me, awakening me up, helping me recognize what I need and how to get there. And the way that I'll explain it in a quickly is that as a child, I was extremely exuberant, outgoing, loved to talk so much that my twin sister didn't talk until she was four because I talked for her. I had all the answers. And then at some point in my childhood, I received the message, and of course this is unconscious, this is no blame, but I received the message that my voice wasn't welcomed and I became the good little girl who was seen and not heard. And I played that role. I played that role really, really well. And fast forward, I went on to study to be a communication expert as a speech-language pathologist. And I realized that I spent the next 30 years of my life helping others to access their voice. And my role was primarily to help nonverbal children to figure out what kind of a communication system can we create for them to be able to communicate. And it's no different than when I help women learn to communicate, which is what I do now as well through yoga teacher training programs where I help people find their voice. And do you know that public speaking is one of the number one fears, especially for women? So I help them to work through that, to find their voice. And then I take it through the coaching as well. And, you know, we're brought up with so many beliefs and conditionings and imprints and things that just are really not ours. They've been given to us. They've been placed in our unconscious. And at some point, we've believed them to be real. And so I help people to work through those limiting beliefs, but we move through a sense of relaxation. And having a child with a communication button that has one message, help, because that's all they can communicate, and a woman who comes to me and her message is help, I need help, they're no different. They're no different in my mind. And the reality is the 30 years that I've been doing this has been for me to be able to find my voice, to ask for help, to share my wisdom, to know with clarity what I need in my life. So it's all been like this incredible orchestrated life that I could not have ever imagined or planned. And it shows up now in the way that I help other people to figure out what do they need. What do they need to feel happy, successful, content, at ease in their life? And a lot of it has to be through moving through the conditioned beliefs, which is what I've had to work through, the conditioned beliefs, the limitations. I call them the Bruhls. This comes from Vishen Lakyamia at Mind Valley. The Bruhls are the bull rules that we've been given. And it's like until we stop and we say, wow, where did that come from? So I've spent the last 30 years myself working through my rules, figuring out what's mine that I want to keep, what's the wisdom that my parents, my society, my teachers, my community impacted on me that's like, yep, that absolutely is my truth, and what's no longer my truth. How do I get to design my life in a way that makes me feel nourished, on purpose, successful, relaxed, and joyful? That's a little bit about my background.
Cool. Well, I always, when I'm working with my clients, I always let them know that it's okay, whatever it is they're experiencing, because all of us are just busy recovering from our childhood.
Absolutely.
And then we choose different paths to do that. We choose different ways to do that.
Absolutely. And when the clients come to you, when the clients come to me, the first thing is I believe that's a celebration, because that's a moment where they're willing to see a different perspective. They're willing to wake up, which is just to become conscious about the choices, the decisions, the beliefs and all that. There's a willingness to want to consider waking up. And that's a massive celebration. And people come to me and they don't necessarily come to me saying they want to wake up. They come to me saying, I don't feel content. I don't feel fulfilled. I don't know what I want in my life. And that's what attracts them to you and to I initially. And that's a massive celebration. I'm so grateful that people are starting to wake up in the world around us. And it's such an exciting time for the world to have people that are willing to look at a different vision of their lives and a different vision of the world at large, that they're willing to dream, that they're willing to consider, what is it that I want in my life? This is my one precious life. What do I want to do with it? What is the legacy that I want to leave? And it's not about what's in the will. It's so much bigger than that.
That's cute. For sure. Well, I always know that, people can be willing, but maybe not ready. Or they're ready, but they're not willing. So I always say, please, you have to be ready and willing at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I always, when I have my calls with prospective clients, I always leave it in there. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Are you ready for this? Because I don't have to force anything. And in fact, I don't want to force anything.
No.
That's too much effort for me as a coach to have to force it. So if you're really ready to step in, I will be there with you and I will take you through this journey. But I don't want to work so hard to do it. So I am pretty picky about my clients. I do want them to be ready. And the readiness that I'm looking for is a heart open readiness. It's like, I'm tired of feeling closed in my life. I'm tired of wearing the masks. I'm tired of living somebody else's expectations. If they come to me with that and saying, I want to do something. I don't know what it is, but I'm ready. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's the willingness that I'm jumping in with you and I'll say yes to. But if people come to me and all I'm hearing is the complaints, but not a willingness to do it, they're not yet ready. And I send them so much love and compassion and complete understanding, because that was me for the first 32 years of my life as well. I didn't know there was a different way. I didn't believe there was a different way. And then I got my nuggets. I got my nuggets, my little knocks, my little soul knocks. And then eventually that soul knock became a soul slap. And it was like, wow, I really have to look at this because I am not paying attention and it hurts. I'm in pain.
Yes.
Right. So I've learned to pay attention. I've learned to trust. And I don't always know where my life is going. I'm in a massive transition in my life right now. And I really do trust in how things are unfolding and what I am putting into the world is really creating a big difference and a change in the world. And I really believe that's my purpose here, is to help to empower others, to help to wake up others, to see a different perspective. And the whole benefit of that is for people to have a different relationship with their own heart, with each other, and in the world. Seeing us all as global citizens, we all have a role.
Absolutely. In your bio, you mentioned you work with helping to awaken the high achiever. That intrigued me because I wanted to ask you about that. Is there a particular profile of what you perceive to be a high achiever? Who is that?
Yeah. So in the work that I do, the high achiever, and I work particularly with women, and the high achiever is the person that's been on what I call the wealth journey, the success path, climbing the ladder path, the corporation path, and yet there's something empty inside. And so I don't want to take them off the path that they're on. And I never want anyone to have to change their life to wake up and feel their heart. I want to give them the tools and the strategies to realize that there's value with where they are, but they might have left a big part of them behind. They've separated, they've created a fracture in their life. And so, you know, again, they're not happy. Even though they've reached that milestone, they're not happy, or their relationships are suffering, or they're not connected to their children, or they feel alone. And so the high achiever, I mean, I don't ever want to judge that. But when we go to on that path and we leave behind our inner wealth, our inner health, our heart connection, eventually there's a disconnect. And how that shows up in the world and how that might show up, let's take it to any one individual, is it's going to be like a low-lying tension that might manifest as anxiety. It's like something's just not feeling good. I can't sleep well. I'm eating the wrong foods. I don't want to move my body. I can't focus as much as I'd like to. I'm not as productive as I want to. So the impact of stress and anxiety, we know very, very well researched and evidenced on performance, on happiness, on joy is massive. So we get to a point where, yeah, I've reached that. And I had a really successful career as a speech language pathologist, and I still do it part-time and I do consulting. And I love what I do. And I've always been able to balance it and put my own personal needs first, because I really believe we cannot serve from an empty cup. And I believe that we all have the potential to have our cup overflowing. But if we make a choice to see just the cup half full or the cup half empty, we are limiting ourselves. Our cups should be overflowing with health and wellness and abundance and joy and relationships. And then my work is to help people figure out how to do that.
Yes, that makes total sense, Diana. My husband's an aircraft maintenance engineer, retired, and when I asked him about, is the cup half full or half empty, he said, you have the wrong size cup.
Ah, love it, love it, love it, yes. Yes, one of my coaches taught me this too, the cup is always overflowing. It's just, are you willing to see the abundance that's always there? And for people who are struggling with that concept, like abundance, where's the abundance? I can't pay my bills this month. There's a mindset there that's keeping you in that state. Right? Because if you look around and you're breathing, you have an abundance of air. Abundance is everywhere. We have there's a perspective, there's a shift that's needed to be able to welcome it and attract it into your life. And I do part of that. Part of that is around the mindset shift. And it really comes down to what are you willing to accept and acknowledge that is true for you in your heart? Because I am a heart coach. I do mindset work, but I start with the body. And I believe that the body holds our wisdom. The body holds the tension, the tightness, the dis-ease and disease that is a representation of our thoughts, our patterns, our limiting beliefs, what we have taken into the world and accepted as who we are, and what we believe, our beliefs that are incongruent with what's true for us. And so it shows up in the body. And I really feel like my purpose is to help people to come together to recognize that they can have love and they can have authenticity. And what happens as children, the evidence has shown that as children, those are two primary needs. And what happens when a two-year-old has a temper tantrum, for example, because they can't have that cookie, the parents tell the child in some way or other that they're wrong to have that temper tantrum. The child's temper tantrum is they're expressing their truth. They're frustrated. They just don't know how to express it. And as a communication specialist, I help people learn how to express it. And adults have temper tantrums too. They just express it in different ways. We might call it like road rage and different things like that. So what happens as a child is if your authenticity, which is the expression of your truth or your emotional states at that time, were made to be wrong, a child unconsciously takes that message that your tantrum is wrong and they turn it into, if you tantrum, you will not be loved. So we start compromising our authenticity for attachment. And that's why we have so many people that are in relationships, in work situations, where it's one or the other. They're not loving who they are, who they're with, what they're doing, but they're doing it because it's what they've been told they should be doing. And they lose their connection to what they really want and need. That's their authenticity. So my mission is to help people to stand and awaken to their authentic truth so we could remove the masks that keep us separate, because there's enough fracture in the world today that we all have a responsibility, I feel, a responsibility to help to reduce the fractures, to come back, and that's by coming back to our truth, our authentic state, removing the mask, and not caring so much about what other people think, but caring more about how everybody feels.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I grew up in a home where you were not allowed to express any kind of emotion. It wasn't polite for little girls to be angry. And on Christmas morning, when there were presents under the tree and we'd be all excited and dancing and jumping up and down, we were told to calm down. So eventually we can't even, I know in my work, the clients can't even connect to the feeling. In other words, it's either good or bad. Oh, that's how it feels to be disappointed. Oh, that's how it feels to be overwhelmed. There's no vocabulary.
There's no vocabulary and there's no access to the state, because what we do is over time, we narrow our access to our emotional energetic range. We're meant to be fully expressed human beings, but we narrow that range exactly as you said. Same here, me too, right? Anger wasn't welcomed. Grief wasn't welcomed. Sadness wasn't welcomed. Disappointment wasn't welcomed. And then joy wasn't welcomed because it was too over the edge. So I learned to narrow my emotional energetic range, and I lived in a very small range. But we know from the work of Brené Brown and many other people that preceded her that if we numb one emotion, we numb all emotion. And so we become shut down inside, and we become shut down, and we forget why we're here. We're not here to run tension. We're not here to have to fight through life. We're here for the delight of it. And so if your life is not delightful, how can we help to architect a life that is love and joy filled? And it doesn't mean that it's always going to feel good. And that's where you mentioned the judgment. Like, I think that's massive that we have these judgments about emotional states. This is, it's good to feel happy and it's not good to feel sad. And my work is to help people recognize that everything is welcomed because it's all part of our human beingness, that we are human beings. We will have disappointments. We will have sadness. Don't tell someone that heartbreak is invaluable. There is teaching and lessons in heartbreak. It hurts. I don't want to deny that. It's pain. And yet, if heartbreak is fully embodied and expressed, it opens up a pathway to your deepest yearning in your life. And it's like if we go through that instead of wanting to numb it, instead of wanting to distract from it, instead of wanting to judge it and make it wrong, we start to see the light. And then the next time that situation comes through, we have a different understanding of it. So it's almost like we become witness to our emotions, but we let them move through us instead of stopping them. This is not conditioning that most of us have received as children. We've been taught, push it down, make it go away, get over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. And that can be so evident in the way that situations are presented to us. I remember in high school, this boy sent me a dozen roses. I don't even remember who he was, but they came in a long gray box. And I said to my mom, I want to keep that box because I have scarves and things I could put in there. And she said, no, we can't keep that box. That has to be in the garbage before your dad gets home. I had no idea, Diana, what she was talking about. I said, what are you talking about, Dad? And she said, well, you know, my dad lost his mom when he was 14. And back in those days, they laid the bodies out in the front room. And anyway, apparently the back porch was filled with these flower boxes. And he could never stand the sight of that after the fact. Mm. So here it is, 30 years later. My grandmother died in 1936. It's 1966. 30 years later, that's still getting felt and passed down, and behaviors and reactions. Wow.
Yeah. And
right?
That really lands with me. And I can tell you there's so many stories that I can relate to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the work that I do ends up being what I would call generational work. So we're carrying things today, and we're carrying them literally in our DNA and in our nervous system that aren't even ours to carry. And so we wonder why people are feeling heavy and stressed and unmotivated, because they're carrying tension that's not even their tension to carry. This was your dad's issue, but he passed it on to your mom, who's trying to pass it on to you.
Yeah,
and so
every time
you look at a flower box, you start having a question of, do I keep this or don't I keep it? Because there's something about it that was made wrong about keeping it. And that wasn't anything that had to do with you.
No.
So it's so important to be able to recognize these and to be able to heal some of these really unconscious beliefs and behaviors and habits. Because if we don't, we pass them on. And what I tell my clients, I run coaching groups for women. Because I believe I do coaching individual, but I'm very selective with my individual clients. But in the coaching groups, we use the amplified field. So the amplified field is the collective energy in the field. There's wisdom in that. And so we help each other more when we're in a community. This is why there's organizations like AA and all those, like the meetings, because in a group community, there's so much. It's so important for other people to hear. Yeah, different words, same story, right? Different location. Different people, same story, same experiences. And so as soon as we can recognize that, yeah, like mine didn't have to do with a box, it had to do with something else, but I know that feeling. And then it makes us all relax a little bit. It makes us relax, and it also helps to make us accountable. We can be champions for each other. And I really feel like when we can heal ourselves, we heal the generations forward, which are our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, and energetically we get to heal the past. And there's a lot of evidence to show that if we don't say, it stops here, it's my turn. If not me, then who? I have to do this. I have to be willing to look at this. I have to see why I'm running judgments, why my heart keeps getting closed, why I'm frustrated all the time, why I'm not feeling fulfilled, even though my bank account has, you know, $1 million. What is it in me that's preventing me from seeing those truths? And when you say, stop, I'm going to look at it now, it's time, then we start changing the patterns of the past and the future generation. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Well, if you can imagine, my grandma passed and there were nine. She left a house full of teenagers, basically. There were nine kids. Mm-hmm. And they were all lined up to go to the funeral. Mm-hmm. And they were told, you're going to the funeral, but if you shed a tear and embarrass mm-hmm. this family, you will be punished for that. Can you believe that? Like, this was their mom's funeral. I was like, one of my aunties told me that years ago, because I knew that my dad was still struggling with that even as an adult. And I thought, wow.
You can't see me, Lori, but I'm sitting here with my hand on my heart and sending so much compassion to your dad and his siblings. Unfortunately, that was the rule at the time.
Yes,
and so what
right.
I share with my clients is, you know, our parents all did, and our grandparents and their parents did the best that they could
absolutely.
At the time, given, and there's this little bit, given their model of reality of the world at that time. That's all
absolutely.
They knew. That was their model of reality. And so, of course, there are people walking around today that cannot. There are many people that are on what I call the spiritual path, which is where they can meditate, they can calm their bodies, they can connect to the God of their understanding and feel really good about themselves in that moment, but they can't relate to other people because that requires vulnerability.
That's right.
And they've been told that's not safe. And so
that's
why I do my work in communities, in groups, because we start to create a network of safety where we open up. And we open up slowly. It's not an assault on the nervous system. It's gentle, so that we can start to allow ourselves to be seen and to see others from this place of their truth, not from these shutdown habits that have been passed on to them. And
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that we're having this conversation and that people are listening to this. Because what happens then is people believe that there's something wrong with them, that they're broken, that they need to be fixed. They can never be fixed. It's just the way I am. I'll never be different. And I'm so hoping that they can hear from this conversation that you are not broken. You've just been given a set of conditioned beliefs and modeled imprints that we're different than what you're wanting to look at now. And so there's an incongruency, and it's your time to say, wait, I want to consider something different. I want to figure out why I'm resistant to really attracting love in my life or to sharing my heart fully. Or I want to figure out why I'm always yelling at my kids when they're really not being that bad. Or I want to figure out why I am constantly sabotaging my success or my abundance, or my relationship. And it has to do with all these imprints that we've received. Ah, and then I feel I want to take a big exhale and just let that land with people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I have a little mantra I teach my clients. I don't teach them anything. They already know what they need to do. But I'm just here to remind you of what you already know. But I say, you know, I'm perfect. I came here perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my situations haven't always been perfect.
Yeah. And your imprints haven't been perfect, right? Because we learn everything through modeling. And
that's right.
Yet the words, I tell my students and clients that we are all perfectly imperfect. And that gives it, there's a sense of forgiveness there. Like you don't have to be perfect, but in that there's a perfection. There's a divine perfection. Do you know the story about the golden Buddha?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Okay, so I can give a quick little synapse where I did a talk on a stage in the UK a few weeks ago, and that was the start of my talk, is that in the 1700s in Burma, there was an invasion happening, and so the monks had this beautiful big golden statue of a Buddha that they covered with clay so that it wouldn't get stolen. And 200 years later, fast forward, 1950, they went to move this Buddha in Thailand, and the clay started to crack. And when they saw this, they saw something shimmering on the other side. So they took a chisel and a hammer, and they chiseled away at the clay. And behind the clay, what they revealed was a $240 million golden Buddha. And it's such a beautiful teaching for us that sometimes our perfection is masked. Sometimes our light is masked, and our essential nature, all of us, not just some of us, not just the people that are doing this work, but everybody, even the people who have betrayed you the most, even the people who've done the most unfathomable things in this earth, in this time, they all started. We all are the golden Buddha. We all have this golden essential heart in us, this nature. But we get, the clay gets layered on. It gets layered on very early. It's that two-year-old who got the message, not that that was their parents' intention. So let's just right away say that, let's forgive everything past. The parents did what they knew how to do, which was say, no, don't cry. I'll give you something to cry about. That was always my mantra in my home. Wait till your father gets home. He'll give you something to cry about. And he did, right? And so let's forgive the past, because we know that they did what they did given their model of reality of the world. And moving forward, I have a choice now. As a mature adult, I have a choice. Do I really want to come back and touch that essential golden nature that is me? That was me the day I was born, before all the clay got layered on. And the clay then gets layered on as we move through our lifetime, through heartbreak, through loss, through disappointment, through judgments of other people. And the problem is, when we have that shell around us, that clay shell, we prevent our light from showing through. We're going to get confronted with limitations at some point, whether it's in work or relationships, parenting, whatever it is, we're going to be hit with that resistance because we're not fully open to share and show the world who we are. This is the authenticity. So our work is to start putting a little bit of water on the clay. So it's gentle, it's nurturing, it's loving, it's caring. It's not going to be an assault on the nervous system. We start to let the clay soften through the work that we do, through the work that you do, through the work that I do, so that people can come back to feel and recognize this golden nature within them. And then the work is, how do we remember this? How do we come back to it? How do we remember it when we're sitting in traffic? How do we remember it when we have a deadline and we have to get the kids to their activities? How do we remember it when we've been locked out of our house, or we've gone through bankruptcy, or a relationship has just broken up? How do we remember that? And that's where coaches are so invaluable, so important, because if we can't remember it ourselves, we need people to remind us of our essential nature. And to remind us, there's a term called, I believe it's pronounced pranaya, which is everything is happening for our awakening, like the universe has your back. But when things happen in life, we go back to a victim state. Why me? If only this hadn't happened, I'll never, I can never. Yes, I have this bank account, but I'll never feel happy. I've wasted my life building this, and I'll never be able to do anything different, whatever it might be. If we can come with the essential first understanding that the universe has your back and always has, and the universe is the God of your understanding, that you have never been alone on this path, and your essential nature is golden, it's beautiful, there is goodness within you, and when you can touch that part, there's a relaxation that can come into your system, your nervous system, your body, your mind, and that's when my work begins, is when I can take clients to that relaxation. We're ready to start looking at, okay, what does wealth look like? What does health look like? What does abundance look like? What does success look like? What do relationships look like? But we have to melt away a little bit of the shell to get to the truth. So my work is what I call embodied consciousness. So we start from the relaxation in the body to then start looking at, okay, what are the beliefs that need to change? What are the thoughts that keep coming through that are creating more tension, more limitations, more anxiety, more impossibilities in my life? But we start with this essential state of relaxation. And that's where I also do yoga teacher training programs. So I have a teacher training academy. I train people to be yoga instructors. And I call it a personal development program disguised as yoga, because it's all about, how do we create heart-centered communities? How can I create and co-create heart-centered communities where people can come together? And there are people from all walks of life. I've had people in all levels of executives to people who are working on factory lines to students. And how do we come together and see this common thread of goodness that connects us all?
Awesome.
So mm-hmm. how do we reach you? How do we get in touch? What's the best way for anybody who's listening who would like to connect with you? What's the best way to connect with you?
Yes,
can you
absolutely.
Share that?
So my web, for sure. My website is dianalockett.com. So DianaLockett.com. And on there, you'll see my coaching tab. I also have my yoga tab there because I still teach yoga. I have a YouTube channel for yoga. And I have on that YouTube channel, if you just put in my name, Diana Lockett, you'll see yoga. But you'll also see I have something called Realign to Thrive in a Minute Coaching Tips. So I take a lot of my coaching strategies, beliefs, methodologies, and these are very unscripted and unproduced little minute or 2 minute recordings. I'm walking my dog, I get a hit of inspiration, I turn on my camera, doesn't matter what I look like, and I share some wisdom. And it's to help people to feel better about their lives. And I started that when COVID hit, because I know people are needing support right now. The epidemic, mm-hmm. the pandemic has created an epidemic of loneliness. And so people need strategies, tools to be able to get through the day. And me too, right? Like I teach what I need to hear and learn and remember the most in my life because I'm just as impacted as everybody else. The difference is that I do have the tools to remind me. And in my office, it's all over the place. I have like my signs that say believe and my poster of namaste and my Wayne Dyer quote of when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I have my mission statement. So I have the remembrances. And so I think one thing that I want to leave your audience with is what's a word that makes you feel hopeful about your life right now that would make you feel good? And write that somewhere and remember it. And then we have to be careful not to just want to attain that state and not do the work between here and there, because that's what I call the spiritual bypass, where we just want to feel good, but we don't want to feel the pain that's in the journey of feeling good. And even recognizing that some of the pain is feeling good, because feeling, period, is part of our embodied existence. And so if we take away the judgment, we can feel good feeling bad. And that's a whole coaching journey on its own. But I really feel if we can get to that state, then we start to reduce judgment. We start to reduce making the things that happen in our life right or wrong, and instead start seeing them as opportunities. And if we don't listen, we start getting those soul slaps. And those soul slaps, I've had many in my life, they hurt. They hurt a lot. And now I can look back at them and say, thank you, because they have given me the resilience, which I really feel is my life purpose, is to cultivate resilience, to be able to stay the course, to know the work that I had to do to reveal my golden heart, to help people reveal theirs. And anybody mm-hmm. who's looking for coaching, like your coach has to have done this work to be able to take
Absolutely.
You there. And,
Absolutely.
And that's a critical one. So YouTube is a way to find me, Diana Lockett, my website. Facebook, I have a professional page. I don't do much on it. I use it more for my ads, but my personal page, Diana Lockett. And then I have it used to be a private group, and I've made it a public group. Realign to Thrive with the trademark symbol is my Facebook group. That is my coaching page or my coaching group. And so I post videos. I post interviews there. I interview heart-centered leaders every week. And those interviews are live interviews on that Facebook page, people from all over the world. And that's kind of my lazy way of getting out of doing a podcast at this point, or certainly a radio show. So it's right now it's on Facebook and they're live interviews. And it's to help to, I really feel like part of my mission is to connect people in the world and to connect heart-centered leaders so that people recognize the work that they do and can go to find them if they need to be found. So I take opportunities to highlight, and I'd certainly welcome you to come on and do an interview on that if you wanted to be able to take people to your station to listen to the work that you're doing and come and do some work with you, some coaching work with you, because I feel like this expression, we may not have it all together, but together we can have it all. I feel like that's one of my purpose in life. And then I've reframed that to say, because my program is called Realign to Thrive, and how do we realign from our heart center? How do we realign to our truth? My program as Realign to Thrive, I've reframed that concept to say, when we are in stress and alone, we may not know how to realign, but together we can realign to thrive. And that's the essential foundation for my women's coaching groups.
Absolutely. So along the way, Diana, there had to be some people that you found to be inspirational, motivational, and who supported you in your journey. You mentioned Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'm a big fan. I know that I've had some excellent mentors in my life. And actually, most of the mentoring that I was privileged to, my mentors are gone now. But and sometimes my mentor, I had the most powerful mentor I ever had, was a street person who taught me that receiving is just as important as giving. So, it needs to be perfectly balanced, but I didn't know that, and it took a street person to teach me that. So who have you aligned yourself with over the years who've inspired you in your work?
Yeah. So I would definitely say Dr. Wayne Dyer. I've had the privilege of being in his presence twice, and so, like, just let his energy inform so much of what I knew to be true about me but wasn't able to touch. So Dr. Wayne Dyer has been incredible. I've done a lot of work with Christian Pankhurst, and Christian has an organization in Amsterdam called Heart IQ, and I'm one of their coaches. And I find that work was a massive ignite moment for me, where I was welcome to express some of the tension. Let's just call it tension, is how it manifested. But what it was unexpressed emotions. Remember, as a child, I wasn't allowed to express emotional ranges. So what happens when we don't express it is we hold it in, and eventually the nervous system starts to translate that as tension, and tension is anxiety. And when you don't want to feel it, it becomes depression, because depression is unwillingness to feel or inability to feel. So I've been following his work for about a decade now, and I finally got a chance to go live in person and experience it. And it's all circle work, and that's where I've learned how to do group dynamics and how to use a collective field for collective healing. And I find that any time that I am needing to remember that I need to be inspired, that I need to soften, I go back and I listen to one of the talks that, because I'm a coach for them and I've been involved with them for so long, I have access to all of their summits. And Christian was very smart. From 2011, he started recording everything he did. So he's got a video library that's so rich. So I would encourage anyone to look at that. They're starting a 90-day challenge in March. People can contact me to get a link. There's a 90-day challenge in March, and I'll be one of the coaches, one of the local coaches for this international experience. And pretty well everything that Vishen Lakhiami has done at Mind Valley and many of their speakers. And basically anybody who has the capacity to make me touch an emotional range that I have not been acknowledging, I am so in debt and in gratitude to. And so Lisa Nichols has a really strong gift for that. Many of my coaches, I have, I kind of say this with a lot of humility, but, and a little embarrassment, but I have 6 coaches. So anybody who doesn't know if they need a coach, know that your coaches all have coaches, and if they don't, they need coaches, because we need to fill our cups up. But they all have different purposes. So I call J.B. Owens, who I know has been on your show. J.B. is the founder of the Ignite community, and they write compilation books, and I've written a chapter in Ignite for Female Changemakers. J.B. is like my author coach and friend, and just helps to keep me, like, if I need to really look at what I'm doing in my life, she calls it out for me really straight, which is amazing. And then I have a couple of coaches, including Christian at Heart IQ, that are really here to help me to reconnect with my heart and remember to keep it open. And I just, like you, have experiences where I notice the contraction of my heart shutting down to protect. We have all these defense mechanisms that we have learned to protect us. And what I've learned is that these defense mechanisms had a purpose. So I thank them with gratitude instead of making them wrong. And I choose to remember them and recognize them and say, you know what? You don't have to be here anymore. I'm okay. I can manage this. I'm an adult now. I'm in a place of capacity. Also, I have a coach that is like a business development coach that I work with. And I'm so grateful for all the systems and strategies that I learned from him. And then I have a coach that is really my acceleration coach, who is really here to challenge me to move through my limiting beliefs, to look at the way that I see the world and create a different possibility for me. And what I love about all of my coaches is there's none of them are proprietary. Like none of the work that we're doing as coaches is necessarily unique. What's unique is how we bring it together and how we deliver it and how we connect to our clients. So if you're anyone out there listening is looking for a coach, look for someone that speaks to your heart language, that really that you feel you can connect with, and then trust in what they're delivering for you. That it doesn't matter if they've studied, if they've got certifications. I have a coaching certification, but it doesn't matter where they got their certification with. The relationship with your coach is what's going to make the biggest impact on you. So I think all of my coaches over the years have had massive impacts for me, have been mentors for me, have been teachers for me. And yeah, and I mean, many, many, there are many. I go back and I reread their books and I reread their messages and I connect with them and I watch their audios and videos. Yeah. And, you know, I really believe everybody's a teacher, but when but it's only when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Exactly.
So somebody who could be right in front of me, but if I'm not ready to hear the message or to see my own truth as it's being confronted in that message, I won't necessarily see that, hear the message, open my eyes, resonate with it. But then the coherence happens when I start to open up to be able to be willing to see. And sometimes I tell people it starts with a breath. You have to acknowledge that there's something that's not feeling good in your life, in your body. Take a breath because the breath calms the nervous system. One breath is an entire meditation, Eckhart Tolle has told us. One breath is an entire meditation. And then you get a chance to then take what I call the three C's. Make a choice, take a chance to create a change. These are my ABCs, awareness, breath, and then make a choice to take a chance to create a change. And the and really, if the question that you ask yourself is, what do I have to lose? Probably nothing. It's what do I have to gain? How can I grow? Because there's nothing. A need could not exist, nor could a desire be felt unless the means to manifest what I desire also existed. And that's a different shift because people sometimes get really stuck in, it can't happen. I can't change. There's no way out of this. And when you're in tension and stress, my answer, my response to that is you're right.
So exactly.
Strategies of take a breath first. And I say all the time in my practices, breathe and everything changes because your entire physiology changes. So I've had some amazing mentors and yoga teachers as well. Shawn Korn, I adore her. She's in California. I've done retreats with her. Love Shawn Korn. Yeah, gosh, there's so many. If I had, I could make
I know.
A
list.
That's a massive list.
Well, that's great.
But really, yeah, my coaches, my yoga teachers, Christian Pankhurst, Wayne Dyer, I've watched everything he's done, read all of his books. I do a lot of work around shadows. So Debbie Ford, who was one of the first sort of mainstream people to write about shadow work comes from way back Carl Jung times, and it's about looking at the disowned parts of ourselves that we then hide, judge, make wrong. A lot of the work that I do in coaching is I call the shadows out and I look for the gifts in the shadows. So right now I'm working on my shadow of mediocrity, and what's longing to come through that is my style, my individuality, my full expressed embodied self. But a lot of people stay in mediocrity because they've been told, don't be too loud, don't be too bright, don't be too big,
don't
be too good, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I've heard all of that. All right. Well, Diana, our time is coming to an end here, and this has just been super delightful to speak with you and, of course, being able to connect with you in so many different ways has been amazing. So I appreciate all that you've shared. I know you've touched the hearts and minds of I know who my listeners are, and they're all about growing and moving and changing. And so I appreciate all of the wonderful information that you shared. And now we have another relationship as co-authors with Ignite. I'm doing a chapter in Ignite the Entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for nearly 40 years now. So I've been self-employed, so I can talk about that with a lot of credibility. And so, yes, it's been great. And I just want to thank you again for taking time out of your schedule.
It's been such a pleasure. Yeah, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm excited to get any feedback from your audience, and then I'll connect with you about coming onto my Facebook show if that's something you're interested in.
I would appreciate that. That'd be awesome.
Great. Thank you,
Lori. All right.
Lori.
You're welcome. I'm Lori Davis.
Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening. Yes, thank you. I will. I'm Lori Davis. You've been listening to the Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today, the beautiful Diana Lockett, a visionary heart leader, helping us wake up. We all need that. And through her coaching systems, she supports others who want to be healthier, wealthier, more productive, and on track. So thanks again, Diane. And everybody, have a fantastic day. Bye for now.